Welcome to season two of Career Resilience, where we talk with people about their career path and their career journey, and maybe we can all learn from each other. My name is Jan Daniluk, and I'm a human resources consultant in London, Ontario, Canada. I work with Ford Keast LLP, providing human resources advice and counsel to my business clients. I also support people through individual one-on-one coaching in helping with career development. I hope you will enjoy our series where we talk with ordinary, extraordinary people. We get to hear about interesting journeys. We get to talk with people about failures, successes, advice, and counsel to us as we develop our own careers. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with these people, and I hope you will enjoy listening to it. And now for some logistics. Please subscribe on YouTube, or if you're a listener, please follow me wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have a chance, I hope you'll visit my website, career-resilience.com. Welcome. My guest today is Jag Seva. Jag, welcome to Career Resilience.
Thanks, Jan.
Great to have you here. And I'm particularly interested in talking with you about your career because you've held some really senior positions and you've worked all around the world. So we've got some interesting things to key in on there. But we're also going to talk about what it's like to be a stay-at-home dad, which is always the phrase, stay-at-home dad, and what that was like for you, what that job and that career choice was like for you. So those are the things we're going to talk about. I wondered if we could sort of start with you giving us a sense of your career, which I think was mostly telecom and IT type of roles.
Following school, I had a number of, system integration consultant roles. But my first real job, I would say, started at Bell Canada in 1994. Mm-hmm. And it was an interesting place. I mean, I was young. I was impatient. And you're working in this very large, relatively rigid sort of company. And it was an interesting experience in that I moved up relatively fast. And by 1996, 97, I was a director. And you have a lot of people working for you that have been there for 30, 40 years. It's not uncommon. Yeah. So in terms of my personality match and working in that environment, sometimes I was crying, but I got to play on some pretty big projects and, some pretty big accounts. And so it's a 3 or 4 years that I wouldn't trade for anything else, but it was certainly foundational, sometimes frustrating, but it sort of set the right trajectory for me, I suppose, in terms of what happened. And I think, as with most people, there is no master plan in terms of career you start up. And you have a general idea. The people that do have master plans, I bet you most of them don't materialize to what they thought. Because as you go through your career, you learn about things you're good at and things you're not good at.
So what did you find out that you were good at that made you make your next moves?
So when I was at Bell, I think, Bell was going through a pretty a dramatic change at the time with deregulation. So we had some pretty exciting things to do, like build a new network, bring in, our core enterprise customers from existing Bell networks onto the new network. So this involved working with multiple Bell groups. And I'm talking about, you touch a process at Bell, you'll inevitably touch 20, 30 departments. You're working on things that big. And being able to sort of recognize that it's not just a sort of a command and control organization, right? You've got to get support and buy-in. So in 2006, I joined a company called Cramer, which is also in a very similar space, telecom software, in Bath in the UK. And it was synthesis. I knew my job was always on the road, so it didn't really matter where I lived. Oh, okay. So I joined them. The first 6 months, I didn't have a place there. But I think I might have spent maybe 4 nights in that apartment in those 6 months. So I gave that up, and then I got married that year. And then my wife insisted that we need to live, at least have the same address. So we bought a place in London because she was just starting her residency here. Awesome. So Yeah, and so I worked at Cramer for a number of years. Cramer was acquired in 2006, the year I joined them, by a company called Amdocs. And Amdocs is a very large telecom software and services, IT services company. They're based in Tel Aviv. So that was an interesting experience working out of Israel. And then I joined Ericsson.
And where were you located for Ericsson?
Stockholm.
Okay, were these all jobs you were commuting to, Jag, from London, mm-hmm. Ontario?
Pretty much. I mean, I would. So any of those jobs, you know, whether it was Cramer, Amdocs, Ericsson, I would make sure I would be back at sort of home base once a month.
So here you are doing all these really interesting jobs, flying all over the world, inspiring groups, dealing with your customers, all those kinds of things. And what happened or in your thought process that made you think that maybe a move would be to being a stay-at-home dad?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, literally, it was stay-at-home from, you know, traveling. I probably traveled 3 million, 4 million miles on multiple airlines. And I'd been doing that from 2000. So this is now 2015. I was at Ericsson. I tried to make some major changes at Ericsson, but was not very successful, and I wasn't particularly happy there. So that was sort of one driver for it. And around that same time, we had a personal situation as well that kind of opened my eyes to parenthood, if you will. And so my wife and I had been talking for some time at that point. You know, we had a nanny plus additional babysitting and all kinds of things to support both of us. There was an ongoing intellectual conversation about, you know, really, why are we doing this, right? Like, one of us should be home with these guys because we're not going to, you don't get a redo, right? You don't get a, I think raising children is like careers, as in there's not one mistake that's going to screw the whole thing up. But it's a whole series of mistakes, small mistakes, right? That ends up, you know, 20 years later, you look at your career and go, what happened? Or you look at your kid and you go, what happened? So we had, you know, there was a number of, I would say for a couple of years after we had Daniel in 2012, this would be an intellectual conversation. We have three kids. We kind of have a critical mass to form our own little company. So in 2015, with Ericsson, what I was going through Ericsson, I thought, yeah, maybe this is the right time. And when my wife and I discussed this multiple times, it was sort of behind, I don't know who talks about the veil of ignorance, but it was certainly behind the veil of ignorance where neither party knew who would actually do it, right? So it was very, very much intellectual at that point. So, of course, when it came down, you know what, one of us should stay home. And my wife said, well, I guess you're staying home. She said, well, I can't quit my job. I mean, I save lives. So,
because your wife is a doctor.
Yeah, yes, she is. She's a private physician in Clinton. And it's, you know, for her, it's actually it's even more different than, say, she's a primary care physician in London, in that it's a small community. They literally do depend on her. And it's not just her clinic, it's the hospital. It's all the nursing homes, it's the network that she supports. So, it made sense. So I said, okay. And it seems like, you know what, I've managed people before, and this is all about prioritizing things and having a schedule, having objectives, managing a team.
That's actually your thought process as to, you know, this is okay.
I thought it would be a very structured process. And to that end, you know, there's a lot of things that we do. For example, like, you know, we don't, Monday through Friday, the kids are busy from the time they wake up at 7:30 to 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. You know, we have two or three activities every night, you know, and they do things like piano and guitar and drums and karate, swimming, hockey, kumon, coding. There's a long list of things, skiing in the winter. So in that sense, you know, we're able to, and people are always amazed at how much the kids do. So that part of it is very structured. And I think some of my professional skills might have come in to help there. But the part that completely floored me was you have no levers to pull with your children, right? These are not employees. They're not staff. They're not teams. You don't have common objectives. motivate people with. You're not paying them. You don't have bonuses. Did you
happen to have performance reviews with them?
I tried.
Did you really?
So, you know, we have things like on Thursday nights, there's bubble tea and you can lose it. And there's no getting back, right? One of our kids last week went to school without a Halloween costume because he didn't deliver on his deliverables. So that happens. Yes. Yeah, we do have that. But it's also different in that you're trying to do that, but you're a sort of a multidimensional support system for your child. So you've got to have the other side as well. It's not like your staff that go home and complain to their spouse that their boss is unreasonable. The kids don't have anywhere else to go to, right? So, and of course, this is changing now, but the other thing is there's no concept of time or priority. Everything is immediate, in the moment. And so that was a huge adjustment. I mean, it still is an adjustment of going from, I mean, any of my roles from the last 15 years, I manage my time. I call the shots and what's important in terms of what I do. All of a sudden, it's a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 7-year-old telling me what needs to happen today. And that part is extremely frustrating, right? You wake up and you're sort of at the mercy of these little people that are not even, you know, positively contributing to the economy, that are telling you what you need to do. And so I think that is extremely, extremely difficult. And you know, people always tell me, but aren't they in school? Yes, they are in school, but you don't actually have a contiguous block of time where you're uninterrupted, right? So they might go to school, but you still have 4 different things you need. You have to go mark their Kumar. When, you know, Daniel hits head, so now he's in concussion protocol and I have to go to school and sign a form, right? Somebody forgot their lunch. So there's never this, it's not like when you're working and you've got far more control over your time. It is different. Now, the other major thing is, when you're going hard at work, I mean, you're trying to close a quarter, you're trying to close a year. There's numbers, there's metrics that show what's happening. And that is a huge motivator. I mean, even when you're in school, in university, you get marks back, you have a performance review and you know, hey, I'm on the right track, right?
Yeah.
There's none of that. The experiment lasts 20 years, right? Maybe more, maybe longer before you know if this is actually worthwhile or not. So from a sort of picking yourself up, getting yourself focused and motivated again to go at it the next morning is much harder, right? So, but we will all be rewarded in heaven, I'm sure.
Did you get any sort of assistance in migrating from these executive roles into stay at home? Or you just thought, you know what? I'll just dive right in.
No, I mean, it was... I quit my job and then, well, I guess there was an overlap of a couple of months because we had a nanny and we just wanted to make sure she had in the role before we let her go. So there might have been a couple of months of, onboarding on the job training. But no, and the other thing was, I mean, I was never really here. So the nanny used to do stuff and then all the fussing and hugging and all that stuff was my wife. And so for me, like I would come back on a Friday or Thursday night, I'd take one of the boys golfing for the weekend. We'll go have to do some fun, go to the cottage. So it was, it was always kind of fun things so it wasn't, there weren't many opportunities for me to kind of lose my marbles and start screaming. And that changed very quickly, by the way. So I think, but it is different. I think, I do look at them now and know that there is a difference, right? There is a difference. They're all pretty confident and they know that, I guess primarily they know they're safe. But I'll tell you, it's mind numbing. It is absolutely mind numbing working with children. I don't even know how early, kindergarten and grade one, grade two teachers do this.
What is mind numbing about it?
Intellectually, it's mind numbing. Right, because these are all things you have to do. But I can assure you, there is no glory in making a ham sandwich lunch with a very particular type of cheese and lettuce cut in certain. There's nothing intellectually challenging about that, but it has to be done, and it absolutely has to be done because your kid's not gonna eat at school. So yes. Whereas, you know, when you're working, you're at the, you know, for the most part, you're at the forefront of your mental capacity, right? It is your field. You're an expert at that, and you're pushing that envelope all the time. Making a peanut butter jelly sandwich is not that, right? So that is it is absolutely mind-numbing.
So what advice, Jag, would you have for other stay-at-home dads?
Try it. So, you know, part of my issue, and I'm learning this as well, and you know, it might have held me back in my career as well over the years, is I'm always very goal-oriented, right? You know, we set our targets and we go get it. And, you know, one of the reasons I sort of rely on a core team of people, regardless of company, is they also work that way, right? I don't need to know the details. Go get it done. And when you've got an issue, you come and we're going to talk about it and I'll support you. But I don't need to micromanage you, right? That's the complete opposite with the kids, because it's never about the outcome for them. It's all about the process, right? And so you really have to be in the moment. And so it's a complete opposite. And I think there's a happy medium in there somewhere. But I do think, you know, a lot of kids today grow up without having enough of a framework of outcomes and consequences, especially in their sort of teenage years. So, you know, they can't connect the dots from why should I stay home today and finish, prepare for this exam versus what am I going to do in 7 years when I'm out of high school and flunked out of college and now I need to do a job, right? They can't connect the dots to that reality. And so I do think that that's lacking. But having said that, you still have to survive your day, which is in the moment. And so what I would tell parents, I think, is first of all, you've got to have something outside of the kids. And so when I look at, you know, the last generation, like my mother, she didn't have anything outside the home. And I think of, like, how did you not go totally cuckoo, right? Like, it's... So I do think you need that. And I think that really, though, in the times we live in, parenting has to be a joint effort. I mean, ideally, you will get to a scenario where you can have two people working, but maybe working a little bit less and sharing the burden of raising children. But unfortunately, you know, for my job, for example, my wife would always tell me this, why don't you do this at 80%? Like, what? Like there's no slider. It's an on-off switch, right? Because when you're working. And like, you know, you don't go, oh, I think I've done enough on this for today. I'm going to dial it back a bit. You know, you're going to do it until you finish it.
As you got into this being a stay-at-home dad, did you ever think, I'm considering changing my mind about being a stay-at-home dad and going back to the kind of life that I was living?
There is no resignation letter. There is no 2 weeks notice. What are you talking about? There is no, you reconsidered. I mean, I can't put them on Kijiji. Oh, no. I mean, my wife and I have discussed that, as in, you know, should switch, and she's not all that keen on it. But all kidding aside, that did happen. It did happen in 2017 when a company called Ciena, an optical networking company, actually extremely successful. They revolutionized optical network or networking in general. About 70%+ of the world's internet traffic goes through Ciena equipment. And then they bought a software company and they were struggling with monetizing it. And they asked me to come and help. And so I was there for a year and did some amazing things. And it really was exciting. For me, after at that point, 2.5 years at home with the kids, it was just so refreshing. I was pumped. I was a rock star again. And it was great. And then the kids just crumbled.
Really?
They just, like, Samuel would be like, Sunday nights would be like somebody died in our house. So I decided to stay home. And so after a year of that, and it was great. It also gave me some pocket money because I kind of emptied out the piggy bank. The 1 year at CNN was wonderful, and a lot of fantastic people. Probably the best company I've worked for.
Do you ever think I cannot balance all this stuff on my plate, all these activities and so on?
No, because for me, it's I'm in control of that. So it's never that I cannot balance. It's what am I moving off my plate, right? So it's never a crisis. I mean, I think that's a key part of being successful at it, is you got to understand what you can fit in and what's a cherry on top nice to have.
What is the best thing about being a stay-at-home dad?
It's all you. Like, you know, you, I think it's very rewarding that you can see when they're successful. I think there's a level of relationship that you develop because of it, and mutual respect. You know, and they're mouthy, but there's a fundamental level of respect as well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, being a control freak, I know that whatever the outcome, it was me. So in a sense, that's somewhat calming.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, there is a frustrating part of it as well, because, and this is the part I think that's a bit dangerous and unfair, is you feel like you're putting all this in, and why aren't you putting in the effort, right? So I think your expectations are a little bit higher, and you need to temper that because they are kids, right? And so my thing with the kids is always, you've got to be trying as hard as I'm trying, or harder. Mm. Otherwise, right? So I don't care about outcome, right? But I need to know that you tried, because I'm trying, right? So, and you know, like my daughter gets that really well. Like she, a few years ago, I remember she had a piano recital, and I asked, she had played it for me, and I asked her, do you think that's the best you can do? And she said, no. I said, okay. And I just left the room, and she stayed up all night practicing. It was beautiful the next day at the recital. So they get that. And I think that's a great skill to have. It's a great attitude to have. Because, you know, I failed at a lot of things, but there was not one thing I failed at that I tried my best at that I felt bad about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So,
well, I think it's really interesting to try and overlay some of the things that you did in your career into parenting, and some of the shocks you get in terms of, you just don't have the same clout at home as you do out in the work world.
No, and in fact, I think if you look at, you know, I know several sort of anecdotal data points on this, where, you know, these high-powered executives, you look at their home lives, and it's horrible. They have, you know, teenagers that are rebelling because they try to do that. They try and control with power that they don't have, or with money that the kids don't need.
Mm, I like that. Okay, I wanted to ask you my questions. And the first one, what was the best career advice? And it sounds like from your point of view, it was to nurture and build relationships.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking about that question previously. There's a guy, Ken Warren, I worked for at Bell. This really sort of stately English guy. And he's just cool as a cucumber. It didn't matter what the crisis was. He was 6'2" with his big mane of hair and a big beard. And so he'd always just say, just don't take it so seriously. Like, he would always say that to me. And, you know, at that time, I might have been 25, and he was probably in his early 50s. And he just always say that. He'll be like, Jack, just let it be. Mm-hmm. It'll be right. And I think about that, you know, and I think about all the different work crises I've had, where I've jumped on planes, I've jumped on people's desks, I've demanded people go here and there. And you think about that, and did it really make, I mean, it solved the crisis at the time. But if that didn't happen, would it really have been that bad? I mean, you know, would you?
Yeah. So, Jag, did you really jump on someone's desk?
There is a story that I jumped on the desk in the network operations center at Bell, yeah. When I was much younger.
Okay, just wanted to clarify. Okay, yeah. My second question is there a particular book that you've read that's helped you with parenting?
I have a lot of books that have been recommended to me by my wife that she recommends to me. I have not read any of them. There's a lot with like problem children, rebellious children, children with attitude. And, you know, I think parenting is just like your career. It's your own experience, right? There are strategies you can use for sure. But I think any of these sort of these parenting help books, they only work when the author is of that same mindset and personality.
Yeah. Right. I always remember my some book I read. And so I said to my daughter, because I'm in human resources and the book and everything, and I said, well, how does that make you feel? And believe me, I did not get the answer I would get if it was in a work situation.
And it's different when you read a professional, you know, a leadership book, or when you're, you know, because you're not living with those people. You can go and work and you can try three or four different things on how you lead your team. You're not doing that with your kids that you live with 24/7, because your personality is going to come through at some point, and their personality is going to come through at some point. So I think the mechanism ultimately is find a, you know what the outcome needs to be, and find a way that works for both of you, right? It's never the what with kids. It's only the how. We already know the what. We know what we need them to be or do or say. We just don't know how to do it, right? So, and to me, I think that is the uniqueness of each relationship with each of your children. I mean, I don't even have the same process with all my three children, because they all operate differently.
Absolutely. So back to the book, is there a book that you've read that's non-parenting related that was helpful to you?
Oh, several books. I mean, I was again thinking of the question, and you know, like obviously the Jack Welch book comes to mind, like Winning. When I first read it, I was like, wow, this makes a lot of sense. I'm not sure to what extent it applies in today's world, as you know, 15 years ago. I look at, you know, other books unrelated to business, like reading Gandhi, for example, you know, where it's not even about relationships, even it's even more basic than that. It's about your outlook on life and what is important to you.
Yeah.
You know, how you people, you know, being true to yourself. Like, I think all of those things are foundational, because, you know, if you're true to yourself and you're clear on what you want and what your capabilities are, I think it immediately has an impact on what sort of relationships you have. It has an impact on what sort of teams you build and how you interact with them. So I think those fundamentals are really important, because, you know, people come out of school, you know, with lots of different ideas and ideals. And really the only difference between me at 50 and me at 20 is I'm still as black and white as I was when I was 20, but there's a lot of gray area in between the black and white, right? This is where I think the 20-year-old version of me, the 20-year-old version of me didn't appreciate the difference between skill and experience.
Yeah, of course.
And you dismiss it. You're like, what are you talking about? You know, of course I can do that job. Mm-hmm. But it's very different looking at it, you know, 30 years later at 50 and saying, I'm not 50 yet, by the way, but I will be 50 soon. the 50-year-old me says, I've seen that before, right? I've seen that before, not just once. I might have seen that a few times before, right? The 50-year-old me doesn't panic or get excited. It's a far more even keel.
Okay, I think those are all my questions for you. Is there anything that you wanted to add?
No, I mean, I think, again, I would just tell people out there that there is no formula. You just try and make a good decision at every point when you need to make a decision.
Yeah.
As far as resilience goes, you know, I know we didn't touch squarely on it, but you know, I think resilience is all about keeping your career moving forward, taking chances, and not saying, you know, risking your job every time you make a decision, but take chances knowing what the outcomes are going to be, right? Knowing that, you know, the worst outcome out of this is not going to kill my career, so it's a risk that maybe we're taking.
Jack, thanks so much for chatting with me today.
not a problem at all. Hope it was useful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Useful. And some really great things to think about related to parenthood. So thanks for that. So to our viewers and listeners, thanks so much for joining Jag and me today. I really appreciated getting the perspective of a stay-at-home dad. That is quite fascinating to me. Also, please follow me on wherever you get your podcasts and YouTube. That's where we post. And thank you for joining us. And until we meet again.